The competition is supported by Performance Today, a daily guided tour of music and concerts from around the world. Find out more about Performance Today and give them a listen. Head to yourclassical.org. Again, that's yourclassical.org, and then click on Performance Today.
It was a phone call from the CEO of the library, and it was a very short call. He was just like, "Congratulations, you're one of the 30. I was just like, "Oh, okay." I was very surprised and happy, obviously. Yeah, and then I went back to practice because I need a lot of that.
No way. I mean, Come on. It's like, it sounds like you didn't think that you even had a chance to make it in the top 30. So for someone to call, not only someone, but the CEO of the Van Cliburn calls you and says you've made it in, I don't believe that you were just like, "Oh, cool."
Well, I went to see my friend and then I screamed a little bit.
Daniel Hsu is one of the lucky ones. One of 30, to be exact. He made it into the next round of the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition in Fort Worth, Texas. Since the beginning of this year, we've been following the event from when there are nearly 300 contestants fighting for these 30 spots. And now we're here. We're at the moment that I personally have been waiting for, to really get to know these people who have devoted their entire lives to playing piano and who now have the opportunity to become one of the next great pianists. So for these next few episodes, we're going to profile some of these top 30 contestants, starting with Daniel.
I play the piano occasionally. I live in Philadelphia currently. I'm 19 years old.
You're 19?
I'm 19, yeah.
Dude, first off, congrats, man. You are competing against a lot of people who have almost 10 years on you in terms of playing piano.
As my teacher said, you're probably number 30, but that's okay.
Yeah, your teacher's like, "What? You made it in? How?"
Yeah, all in good fun. It's crazy, man. Yeah.
So what age did you start practicing?
I started the piano when I was 6.
Okay.
Both, I have two older siblings who are my mentors and role models in music and other parts of life, of course.
Aww.
And we're all pianists. So I started because of them, and I was accepted to the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia.
Nice.
When I was 10.
Whoa, that's crazy. Isn't the Curtis Institute, they only accept 7 people per year or something?
Oh, they take two or three a year.
They take only two or three a year?
It depends on how many openings they have, how many people are graduating. So we keep maybe 20 pianists at a time.
Yeah.
And basically, whoever graduates is the number of spots they have for that year.
And you got in at 10?
Yeah.
So did you just drop out of regular school and you're like, "Okay, now I'm going to go to the Curtis Institute"? How did that work out?
Well, the story is, so my brother's super, 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 super smart. Like to joke that when he was born, he took my portion of the brain. He's older than me, and he took my portion. Yeah. The stuff that was reserved for me, he got it. And I don't think the public school system was really, I don't really think he was learning very much. So my parents decided to homeschool him and learn at your own pace. And me being the little brother, I just followed along. So actually, when I auditioned for Curtis, I was already homeschooled and not doing public school.
Daniel is downplaying himself. I know he may think his brother has the brains of the family, but it's not easy to get accepted into Curtis Institute of Music, especially at the age of 10. It's one of the most respected music schools in the world, with an acceptance rate of less than 5%. That's a lower acceptance rate than getting into the top 30 at the Cliburn. And that's not all of the accomplishments that Daniel has achieved.
When I was 11 or 12, while I was at Curtis, because I was a terrible student,
okay.
I wrote for a technology publication.
just for fun.
What?
And I would like companies would send me phones and computers and that sort of stuff, and I would review them on this website, and no one knew I was 11 or 12.
What? How did this happen, dude? Wait, no. What?
I don't know.
So no one knew that you were that young because you probably never met them, right?
Yeah, I never met anyone in person. My parents didn't know at all until I started getting too many phones in the mail. And they're like, where are all these phones coming from? And then the secret came out and it was over. So I don't know. I had a bunch of friends, you know, on the internet or whatever. And we were all into phones and technology. And we'd like chat or whatever. And this spot opened up on this publication to basically run whatever they were doing. And I said, sure, I applied and I got the job.
How old did you say you were?
I said I was born in 89.
And what, did you fake a resume? Because probably at 11 or 12, you didn't have any experience.
I faked a lot of things, all right? I faked a lot of things. And it was interesting. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Okay. And so I got huge companies like Verizon and Sprint and
what? You
know, BlackBerry. Does anyone remember BlackBerry?
Yeah.
They would send me phones. They would send me phones as they're coming out.
Wow. Wow. What about iPhones?
No, I wasn't that special.
Okay. But you're basically reviewing the product.
Yeah, I was reviewing the product.
And am I allowed to ask what name you went under?
I used a modified version of my name. That's about all I can say because I don't want you finding this.
Wait, did the publication never find out?
Oh, they don't know.
Oh,
they still don't know.
Gosh,
I just
dude.
Left. All right. I just left and disappeared. I deleted everything.
Oh, my
God. So they don't know. They still don't know.
Dude, that's crazy.
Dude, it was crazy.
For some reason, Daniel reminds me of Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Catch Me If You Can. Kind of cocky, incredibly smart, and also endearing. But instead of conning people out of money and pretending he's a pilot, Daniel's doing the small stuff, like writing reviews for tech blog. And he's sometimes brought in his older siblings, Andrew and Ashley, in on his devious plans.
And so like sometimes my parents would go out, you know, shopping or doing whatever, and then we'd have like kids' time. I don't know if I want to, I'm airing this publicly for the first time. I don't even think my parents know, but we would go to bed, right? We have a bedtime and my parents think we'd be asleep, but then we'd all gather around secretly in the middle of the night to watch, you know, Korean dramas or TV or movies or whatever. And it was that kind of a relationship.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Wait, you're Korean?
No, I'm Chinese, but.
Oh, but you'd watch Korean dramas.
Of course. That's how I learned all my Korean.
He and his siblings had a lot in common, other than staying up past their bedtime watching K-dramas and all being piano players. They also all went to study at the Curtis Institute of Music.
Well, I'm very fortunate to have very loving siblings. And especially since we're all more or less in the same field, industry.
Yeah.
But there's no, you know, everyone always asks, like, are you guys competitive? There's none of that.
Well, why do people ask you a lot if your siblings are competitive with you?
Well, I guess they ask why we're competitive because we're all pianists, right? And we all went to Curtis at the same time. And people assume that there's this sort of competition, like which one of the siblings is the best or which one of the siblings thinks they're the best or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know why I get that question a lot, actually. It's an interesting sort of thing. But I can tell you that absolutely there's none of that, at least not here. Maybe 2 years ago. 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago, my brother and my sister, we did a late Beethoven sonata recital where my sister played Opus 109, I played Opus 110, my brother played Opus 111, and it was one recital, just the three of us, which doesn't happen at Curtis. Curtis, they don't like really block out whole recitals for things, so it was really cool that we got to do it, and we did it as a family, and it was so much fun. Actually, the year we did it was the last year that my siblings were there because they graduated already. So it was kind of like a farewell sort of thing to our time together at school. And it was, I sound sentimental and I'm trying not to be, but you know, it was great.
Have any of your siblings ever competed in Van Cliburn?
No. None of them have tried. I'm the first.
Why?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I tried.
Yeah. What made you decide to apply this year?
Well, I thought a lot about it. The Van Cliburn is a huge competition.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not ready for it, honestly. But
really?
You know, I'm young and I want to play more and gain experience and, you know, have the experience of competing and, you know, getting to meet all the other competitors is going to be fun. And I decided to apply because I thought, why not? You know, I'm young and worst thing that happens is that I don't get to go, and that's okay.
But Daniel did make the top 30, and on his first try too. The age limit to enter the Cliburn competition is between 18 to 30. Daniel being 19, well, he barely made the age cutoff. But I have to assume that Daniel is used to being one of the youngest guys in the room. I mean, he's the youngest of three siblings. He was one of the youngest students at Curtis when he got in at the age of 10. He was definitely too young to be writing reviews for tech blogs. And now, he's one of the youngest contestants at the 2017 Van Cliburn competition, the biggest piano competition in the world.
Obviously, I'm nervous. The part I'm probably most scared about is, you know, the public scrutiny that is inevitably going to occur. And, yeah. You know, I mean, if you think about the idea of a music piano competition, it's a bit ridiculous that something so personal is being judged, you know? And
yeah.
And Van Cliburn is so high profile that, you know, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword that you get to play, you get to share what you have to say with so many people, like an unimaginable amount of people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are a lot of, you know, other things that could go wrong, you know, and these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And that's probably what I'm nervous about. Obviously, I'm nervous and scared, but also I'm excited and I'm looking forward to the experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It's a very scary and intimidating thing, and you know, but it'll be fun. And you know, however it goes, you know, it's just a competition in the end.
This competition, I mean, have you thought about how it could potentially like change your life?
I have, but I try not to think about it because there are a lot of steps, you know. First of all, the competition it's a huge honor if you make it anywhere near, you know, winning. If you think about some of the pianists that competition has produced, it's a staggering list. And they offer you management and the Cliburn is such a public competition that so many people watch the streams and so many people are there and people are following the competition. Like I've gotten emails and messages from people I haven't spoken to in years congratulating me on the competition. And you know,
really?
It's that, yeah. Actually an old teacher of mine reached out because I haven't spoken to her since I moved, and she reached out and said, you know, I saw you on the list, congratulations. So, you know, and we've been reconnecting and it's great. And so it has that sort of a pull, and you know, that's something that can really change your life.
And you'll have to wait till May 25th when the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition takes place in Fort Worth, Texas, to see if the nerves get the best of them. And next episode, we'll meet another contestant who made it into the top 30. The competition is hosted by me, James Kim. Producers are Alyssa Dudley and Cameron Kell. And this outro music you're hearing was made by Andrew Eben. And I know this will probably sound familiar to you if you listen to podcasts, but please rate and review our show on iTunes. It really does help. Until next time.
I'm Fred Child, the host of APM's Performance Today, your daily guided tour of concerts around the world. PT is glad to support this podcast, the competition, and by the way, I'll be there at the final round of the 2017 Van Cliburn competition. I'll be the MC for the awards ceremony on June 10th. Check out more from the Cliburn and from the classical scene around the planet. Go to yourclassical.org, click on Performance Today.